The following podcast is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network, found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com. Hello, we are back, episode 201. Can you believe it? It's just 3 days ago, I was speaking to Vic and Big Con from The Ascension. Today, I've got an NXT UK superstar, Tyson T-Bone. T-Bone, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you. And yourself?
I'm very, very good. Awesome to be speaking to you. Looks like a big week for Wrestling with Jonas, celebrating its 200 episode anniversary. And this is episode 201. So a delight to be speaking to you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Currently on the NXT UK roster then, Tyson, and doing some awesome things. You're being featured on a regular basis with Primate, part of Symbiosis on NXT UK on the WWE Network or Peacock over in the States. Give us your kind of NXT UK experience so far. I mean, I know that you've been featured more heavily since around about March or April time, but you two seem to be having a blast as a tag team.
Yeah, since getting in shape, there you go. Since deciding that I wanted to get back in shape again, suddenly things changed. Bizarre how that happens. Opportunity came where they said, would I be in this? Grabbed it with both hands and currently feel like it's going really well. I've suddenly gone from being completely not used or just used sporadically to now pretty much all the time. And when I'm used, it seems to be pretty much in main event roles as well. Say more than that. It's all gravy at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And the package you've got there with Primate and Eddie on the outside as well. And what I love about this is it kind of brings back the heel tag team and the heel manager as well, which is something that I used to love, you know, back in the 80s and 90s when I first started falling in love with wrestling. And like I say, it is a good package. You are being featured really, really well. But do you feel like you've kind of grown into this kind of package between the three of you, and you having Eddie Dennis on the outside as well, he's pretty cool. I don't think there's any other featured managers on NXT UK at the moment, so it's pretty unique and pretty special.
Yeah, definitely. When it first got put together, I was like a bit sort of, is this just going to be Hunt 2.0? And then when it got explained a bit more, and we came up with a name, and we came up with where it was going, I still feel like there's time to grow with everything that we're doing, but I feel like the strength of the growth is like amazing as to where we're going. And me and Eddie play off each other really well. We've known, I think I was Eddie's second or third ever match, so we've known each other for a long time, and we've been able to just kind of like almost just, we kind of have just gone like that straight away. And then with Primate, I think he is quite similar but so different at the same time that it almost just bounces off of each other quite well. Same with Eddie. I feel like the Symbiosis is a really good name for it, because it's like three things that are all different, but just work together. And it's almost like we came up with like tag moves and just double teams that just seem to instantly be hits. And we were like, cool, this is easy. Just enjoy it.
Have you worked with Primate before? Because, I mean, like you say, I mean, the two of you gel really, really well. It's almost as if you have been tagging for a long time, but like I say, only featured as a tag team on NXT UK for the last 4 or 5 months. But have you worked with Primate before, either as a partner or as an opponent?
We've wrestled twice, I want to say, on Independence, and once dark match for NXT.
It seems quite a natural pairing. How was the kind of vision of Symbiosis explained to you then when they first kind of brought you two in as a tag team?
That's a good question.
Because a lot of people probably had to check through their Theosaurus to see what Symbiosis was all about. And I don't know if you had to do this. What does that mean?
There's finding Nemo and an enemy is what pretty much a dictionary tells you it means. When it was put to me, they said to me, it was like, we want you to be three very different things that still have similarities that can gel with each other. And touch wood, at the moment, I feel like it is going that way. I feel like Primate has become a little bit more human since being with Symbiosis, from being just the primate that he was in The Hunt.
Interesting.
I feel like I've been able to transition a bit from what they had me doing before to now. And Eddie is just, Eddie's just Sinsterminster, basically, isn't he? So
yeah,
he's a
that maniacal manipulator on the outside.
Yeah.
Which suits Eddie down to the ground, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, definitely. And I think with the look that both me and Primate have at the moment, I feel like Eddie being there with us just kind of elevates us a bit more. Like, I made jokes before about being compared to Warlord and Barbarian when they were with Mr. Fuji, and how modern day era version of that. It just works.
It does work. And like I said a few minutes ago, it's that package, isn't it? You know, you've got a cool name. None of us know exactly what it means, but you've got a cool name. You've got two awesome wrestlers, a fantastic manager on the outside.
Right.
And you're being featured. So that's really, really cool. And it sounds like you guys are crushing it anyway. But go ahead.
I think my favorite part is the entrance music and the entrance video. I feel like that's just so unique and different to the rest of the brand, and potentially even more different, like, for how hard and rock metal and dark it is. I feel like it almost goes to a different level to what, say, main roster or NXT goes as well. I think it's probably one of the first that's actually to that level of rock.
And I don't know if you guys have had a chance to wrestle for the titles yet, but that's certainly got to be kind of in your sights for the future, I'd say.
Absolutely. We haven't yet. Pretty Deadly still have them at the moment, and that is definitely something I would love to do, because I really, really rate both of those two as well. I think they're class. They I think it was last week or the week before, date slip, when they wrestled Mustache Mountain, and
yes,
I feel like that cemented them as tag team champions. I feel like they showcased themselves in that one. Like, their matches with Gallus were great, and then I feel like this one with Mustache just showed them as being, okay, they have grown into being those guys now, and they are really good. Really good. I would love to be an
option. Because with Primate, you wrestled Mustache Mountain, you wrestled Gallus as well on NXT UK TV. What were those two matches like? Because I should imagine that, you know, you're still kind of gelling together as a team, working things out and putting new moves together, I'm sure. But to wrestle established teams like Gallus and Mustache Mountain must have been an absolute blast.
Yeah, definitely. Gallus was like, pretty much, here you go, we're going to put you in this. There's Gallus. And it was like, oh, okay. And for me at that point as well, I'd gone from being just doing nothing to suddenly, there's Gallus, main event, go. And I was like,
yeah,
oh, cool. Let's work this out as we go along. And then Mustache as well. Gallus had been on top for so long as a tag team, but as a trio, I feel like they are the trio. And then Mustache is just, they are just Mustache, aren't they? And you know that they're Mustache for a reason. They've been the forefront of the brand since the first tournament. So getting the opportunity, that was great.
Absolutely. And like I say, they're kind of, you know, they're the establishment as far as UK indie wrestling is concerned. And like I say, they've been there and they've done it all. And Tyler, I mean, let's talk about Tyler for a second. Was he still in his early 20s? It seems like he's been on the scene for donkey's years. And I don't think we've seen the best of him yet.
Yeah, I honestly feel that sometimes he's 22, 23. 22, 23, going on 45, just for how good and mature his wrestling brain is. He is phenomenal.
Yeah, and I'd like to see him, possibly be used. I'd love to see him over in the States, maybe in a prominent position or reasonably prominent on NXT UK. But, you know, dare I say it, possibly future cruiserweight champion. But I think he could do it all. And we've seen him. I mean, I think I said to you off air, I've seen him wrestle in Cardiff against Walter pulling off match of the year in like a 45-minute match. I think he's one of those that has to be used in a prominent position. Like I say, in the next 5 years, I'd say he's got to be wrestling over in the States.
Yeah. Yeah, surely.
Yeah.
Touch wood, no, it happens or anything like that, but surely he has to be someone who is definitely set to go anytime soon.
Yeah. Yeah, and the people that look after you guys backstage must know that. Must know. I mean, just generally, when you're backstage, you know, at the BT Sports studios or at the UKPC, you must kind of look around and see the awesome talent that NXT UK have there, and kind of think, yeah, this is pretty awesome. We've got a great bunch here. I mean, do you have to pinch yourself sometimes when you see the amazing talent that you're working with on a daily basis?
Yeah, definitely. There's times when we're in the PC and we're putting different groups and we're doing the training or whatever. And there's times when I stand there and I just think, oh my God, I'm out of my depth in this group. And then there's other times when, like the last time we were there, the group I was in, it's the most comfortable I've ever felt. And I feel like it's probably took me 3 years to get to that point where I was like, gone from, as you're saying, about pinching yourself and your anxiety levels up here and your nervousness goes to up here. Whereas this last time, all of a sudden it was like, it just felt like it kind of came together a bit. And I was just, wow, this is amazing. And I appreciate every opportunity that I get with them and how nice it is to still be there.
Yeah, absolutely. And they clearly value you as a performer because you're being featured most weeks on NXT UK, of course. But I mean, besides the really, really impressive roster, I mean, we've got to talk about the coaching staff, and you probably, you know a lot of them from being in the ring with them. But am I right in thinking that Robbie Brookside is back over here in the UK coaching at the NXT UK PC?
He's not at the moment, no.
He was.
Pre-COVID, he was.
Gotcha.
Which was great. Robbie was one of my first coaches in the UK. But at the moment, it's just currently Johnny Moss and James Mason. And then we'll often have video sessions where someone will be on the same as similar to what we are now, which could be Coach Matt Bloom, yeah. Shawn Michaels, William Regal. So then sometimes Triple H as well. So that tells you the level of people that we are getting advice from. And it's...
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, Shawn Michaels, for starters, I mean, he's heavily involved. I think NXT UK is his little baby, to be honest with you. And I think when you watch many of the matches, you can see Shawn Michaels' fingerprints over them, to be honest with you. But having Shawn Michaels, when you tell me how involved he is, I mean, I'm guessing he's kind of running things across the pond. But just to have him kind of watch your matches and be involved in NXT UK must be pretty mind-blowing.
Oh, definitely. That was when reality suddenly hit me once. It was like, oh my God, like the first tournament, for example. Sorry, I'll go back to Shawn as well. But the first,
no, you carry on.
Go out there and you're thinking Triple H sat there, Finlay sat there, Regal sat there, Coach Bloom sat there. Oh my God.
Yeah, like, don't mess this up. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they were like, right, Shawn Michaels is going to be like, basically in charge of NXT UK, and you're like, wow, we now have the best there has ever been looking over us and trying to tell us that we're doing a great job compared to him. It's like, wow, let's pinch myself again.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And I've got to ask, I mean, you know, was WWE always your dream? I mean, was you a WWE fan as a kid, or when did you get into pro wrestling as a fan? And, you know, now you're kind of with the top company.
I was really late, really. I didn't really know what wrestling was when I was a kid. I didn't get to see any of it too much. It wasn't until I was in my mid-20s that I started. I was doing ring hire for boxing rather than wrestling. And then got some wrestling hires in as well. And it was from that I was kind of watching it and thought, this is good. Then there was a place that wasn't too far from me that had started doing very basic training. I went there and I was like, I kind of love this. And then I was fortunate enough to go to America and lie my way into Killer Kowalski school.
Right.
And it was from being in there that I suddenly was like, I really like this. I really want to learn more about this. I really want to watch this. And then I had like a 6 month period where I think I was spending probably like 12 hours a day just watching wrestling. I was thinking, wow, when do I sleep? When am I still going to work? When am I still, it was still like, I want to watch. And that was when kind of I went from just being, oh, I don't really know this, to suddenly I didn't just fall in love. I fell flat on my face, everything in love with it. And I've never looked back since, really. But after I started watching that, I don't know. I guess I always looked at WWE as a dream. rather than a reality. Yeah, to me, when I first started, I was just happy to wrestle. Like, I was quite lucky with, I got put onto All Star, which at the time was running 5 shows pretty much every week, and I was doing every week. So I was like, okay, I'm quite lucky with this. If this is how the journey is set to be, I was happy with that. And then suddenly through that, I met Robbie. Robbie then introduced me to some people at WWE, and it's gradually just, and then to suddenly, hello, would you like to work at NXT UK? Yes, please.
Yeah, absolutely. I read somewhere that you were trained at some point in your kind of early wrestling career by Ivar from the Viking Raiders. Any truth to that?
Yeah. He was the, at the time, he was Handsome Johnny. He was like the main trainer guy at Killer Kowalski School at the time. And it was something so that happened. He was my trainer for a few months while I was there. Then when I came home, there was a few years later when I was tagging with Rampage, when suddenly they were like, oh, you're wrestling the Viking Raiders. I was like, cool. And there was a point in the match when I suddenly went, oh my God, you're Todd. And he was like, looking at me. And afterwards I was like, you don't remember me at all, do you? And he was like, no, I can't remember you over just then.
Oh, that's really, really awesome. And you wrestled, kind of your formative years in the wrestling business was pretty much all over the country. And like you say, you wrestled for All Stars. You did some summer seasons over in the Isle of Wight. I think that you spent quite a bit of time wrestling over in the Isle of Wight and before you joined PCW up in Preston. But what were those kind of early 4 or 5 years like for you then, when you were cutting your teeth, kind of developing as a performer and finding your way through the British wrestling scene as it was back then?
One second, I'll switch a light on.
Yep, no, you carry on.
And kill the dog at the same time.
So this is live, folks. You know.
For the RSPCA, she is actually...
We can see you now.
The first 4 or 5 years were, like, incredible for me. I feel like I got really, really lucky. When I came back, I was given the opportunity to do some of the summer runs, but the team that I was on was Dave Mastiff, Rockstar Spud, or Drake Maverick, whatever you want to call him now.
Yeah.
They were like two of the main people that were on that team. Ashton Smith was on the team. Madman Manson was on that team. So to be suddenly dropped in that at a point where I didn't really know anything, I was just like, this is incredible. Then it was 2 free shows every day. I had no choice but to learn. It was just great. It was great. It was the best experience I think I could advise anybody. Everyone goes on about how the camps are this, the camps are that. No, the camps are the best thing you can ever do if you want to learn to wrestle. They were incredible. Yeah. They made me appreciate wrestling so much more.
Yeah, and I've spoken to so many wrestlers like Adam Maxted and Dean Allmark and Tyson Taylor and even Vic from the Ascension did some tours over here in the UK and wrestled for Brian Dixon and did the All-Stars. And they said, you know, certainly during the summer season when you're doing, you know, 5, 6, 7 matches a week, you cut your teeth and you learn your craft very, very quickly, but to a very high level very quickly as well.
Yeah. You say 5, 6, 7 a week. There was most weeks where it was more like 14, 15.
No 16. Way.
I think that's if crazy. You go say before I started, I think say when Regal was still here and Finley was still here, when they were potentially doing the camps or that sort of era, I think there was even more like 20 a week at that point.
Wow. You really learn quickly. And that's what I said, you know, British wrestling is, you know, got to be up there with the best in the world, because when you do, certainly those that do the holiday camp circuit, you learn, you know, quickly, and you learn at a very, very high level. And the guys that are on it, I mean, you know, Dean Allmark, for example, you know, the ambassador of UK wrestling, and, you know, they've all gone through it pretty well. Like you say, most of the UK regulars have gone through the holiday camp circuit, and it's the best way to learn. And they've all said it's probably the some of the more enjoyable times in their wrestling career as well, and a great bonded experience with all of you guys being out there for so long together.
Absolutely. It's some great memories.
More than a few good road stories, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
But let's talk about PCW then up in Preston, because I mean, for my money, that's probably the promotion that you're most closely associated with and had a lot of success with. You were there from the very beginning. I think they kind of came to life in 2011, and you were their first ever heavyweight champion. And I mean, if you once again speaking to people like Dean Allmark, for example, and one or two others, are saying that their time in PCW up in Preston was some of the highlights of their career, and not just because of the great talent that they were using from the UK, but the imports they were bringing over, the awesome matches and the great opportunities they were having with PCW. PCW were kind of slightly ahead of the curve when it came to the rest of the UK scene for bringing imports over and kind of mixing them with the UK talent and putting out fantastic products. But and you were at the forefront of that, being their first ever champion.
Yeah. I feel PCW did a lot for British wrestling as well, in respects of whereas there was imports coming over and stuff like that. I feel like there was always sort of, without being nasty to Americans, they'd come over and they'd have their set way of, oh, we're coming over here, it's a payday sort of thing. And I feel like when PCW happened, and I feel like the first match that created this was Chris Masters and Chris Travis. I feel like suddenly, when that match happened, there was a gear switch of people realized, well, actually, these Brits are doing it just as well as us. We can actually come over here and have really, really good matches rather than just coming over here and having a payday almost.
Yeah.
So I think PCW doesn't get enough credit for doing that for the rest of wrestling. I know 1PW did it a little bit before, but I still feel like that was so American. It was American against American the majority of the time, that when PCW did it and it was American versus British person and et cetera, it, I think it led to a good evolve of people realizing, hang on, we can go there and have exceptionally good matches,
And I think it allowed the American talent to realise that UK talent was just as good, if not better, than what they were seeing over in the States, and you know, helped to elevate the UK talent over here by being in the ring with an experienced import, I suppose. But I mean, what were your, like I say, you won the heavyweight title three times, I think, didn't you? What were some of your kind of favourite championship matches? Because I know that you wrestled, you know, pretty much all the top stars that came through PCW at the time, and you know, you had some great matches. Any particular standouts for you as far as some of your favourite opponents or favourite title matches?
Chris Travis, we did a bull rope match, and probably went a bit too far by the end of it, but it was something that I felt we did extremely well. Like the build up to that match and et cetera, I feel like it was just done really, really well. I got to wrestle Doug, which was something that I had on my list for a long time that I wanted to do. I'm a little bit gutted it's only ever happened once, but Doug was on there, and now he's out of retirement. Hopefully Doug
is back on the scene, isn't he? So yeah.
Do that again sometime. And then just tagging, like, I've said it so many times to people, the whole tagging with Rampage was just, not just PCW, just tagging with Rampage in general. I know we never really tagged anywhere else, but just being around that man for life, for wrestling, for just being around him, helped me more than he'll ever understand for everything. So that was like, it didn't matter who we were against, it just made everything fun.
Did you use him as a bit of a mentor, or was it just you were learning off one another at the time?
Oh no, definitely he was the mentor. He's never learned from me.
Oh. Of course, you both, you know, back together again, full circle. It's, you know, you're kind of in NXT UK together. He's joined in the last year or so, doing some great things as well. So it must be a blast to kind of see how your journey's gone, and then you're kind of come full circle back in NXT UK. Did you kind of reminisce about your tag team days, your tag team success with Rampage, now that he's with you in the UK PC?
It might have been spoke about multiple times.
Yeah. You know, you wrestled the Dudleys, didn't you? You wrestled the Dudleys. That must have been a hell of an experience while you're in PCW together.
We wrestled them twice. The first time was scary in a good way. In respects of it, was like they just come from TV, they'd just been this, that, and the other. They were renowned around the world. I think it was the biggest crowd that Flutter had ever had. So me and Rampage were in the ring and we're waiting, and then that happened. And again, it may have only been 1,000 people compared to a Madison Square Garden or a big arena or anything like that, but for a split second, I am convinced the building was moving. And stood there, and me and Rampage even looked at each other and just went, wow, this is going to be special. And it really, really actually felt like it was something extra special.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Great honor, if that's the right word. It was fantastic. And the fact that we were trusted to go against them as well, and they had faith in us just to do whatever we wanted to do as well as what they wanted to do. Great.
That's cool to hear. That's really cool to hear. And, you know, it could have gone the other way, couldn't it? You know, saying I'm the big American star, this is how it's going to go sort of thing. But I suppose always quite nice and refreshing. And maybe slightly surprising they were prepared to listen to your ideas on how the match should go.
Yeah, but I think at that point as well, I think maybe they'd been in, like, we'd wrestled so many Americans by that point that would have definitely been people they know. Like, we wrestled Paul London and Brian Kendrick multiple times, and I'm sure they'd spoke to them multiple times. I think Brian Kendrick was actually on the show with us as well, so he may have said something to them, et cetera, that kind of like made them feel a bit better about it as well. But yeah, it was great. It was great. And it's, yeah, great to be able to do whatever we wanted.
Yeah, no, that's really, really cool. And I spoke to you a bit off air, and, you know, I was first introduced to Tyson T-Bone at the very first UK tournament, WWE UK tournament. I think they did the press conference in London at the back end of 2016, and the tournament was very early 2017. And I'll never forget, and I said to you off air, that kind of image of the press conference when you're all suited and booted up on the stage, and you had Triple H there, I think Regal was there, Finn Balor was there, and then you had you and all the guys there looking your best. That must have been just an awe-inspiring moment to kind of be there, to know what was going to happen. How did you first, how was you first approached, first of all, to be part of the UK tournament back in 2017 then?
I did a tryout in 2016, and it wasn't long after that Mr. Regal contacted us and said, each of us who were they wanted into it, and said, this is what's going to happen. Would you be interested in being this, this, and this? And it went from there. But like you say, that moment of standing on a stage and hearing that distinct voice in the middle as well. It's daunting, exciting, nerve-wracking, whole mixed bunch of feelings, butterflies like you've never had before in your stomach of like, okay, this is now suddenly actually happening.
Yeah. And you must have felt that all of your hard work up until that point, it's starting to pay off, a lot of kind of forward momentum for you and all the guys on that stage. Not that you'd kind of made it, but you must have felt like you were on your way to making it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, NXT UK, it wasn't called NXT UK to start with, was
it? No, it was like just WWE UK, I think. Because it was originally the WWE United Kingdom Championship, wasn't it? And then they changed it a year or so afterwards.
Yeah, so at that point, as much as we're saying, you hadn't quite made it, but you were still under that. You were still under that name and that branding. That instantly you were just like, okay, this is it now. The only way it can really go now is up.
Yeah.
An
awesome moment. And then that tournament itself, you know, I remember watching it from the comfort of my own living room, but I wish I was there for them two nights. I know people that were there in the crowd that just thought it was the best two nights of wrestling they'd ever seen. And just the tournament from beginning to end, you were a part of that, you know, and going on from that press conference to the tournament itself, you know, the buzz backstage and the feeling, you know, amongst the talent and the crew backstage, must have, you know, it must have been kind of something you can't quite compare it to, you know. I mean, what were the feelings and the atmosphere backstage? You guys must have been buzzing with how it went and how successful it was with the fans and everybody at home.
Definitely. I feel before it even started, I feel I was sat there and I don't think I'd ever been really as nervous for a match ever.
Really?
Up until the point where me and Wolfie went out and Triple H said some words to us. And all of a sudden, I just thought, yeah, I can do this. And it's probably the only match I've ever had within that company where I haven't gone out there absolutely bricking it. I don't know why on that one. I don't know what he said that made it so comfortable in my head. But literally, I was just like, yeah, got this.
Yeah. Yeah, but, absolutely.
And then when you came afterwards and the reaction that you got when you first came back through, and then by the end of night two, after when Tyler had won, and then when we came back, and then there was like a almost like a backstage celebration type thing as well, which I think we did enough of in the ring as well as backstage.
Oh, yeah.
There was just like, that's when it kind of really sank in that it was like, okay, that was something special.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think if I'm being honest, NXT UK is certainly one of the TV shows. I mean, there's so much out there for wrestling fans at the moment, but it is certainly on my watch list every single week. I have to kind of catch up with it. And like you say, for the last, getting on for, I don't know, about 10 or 11 months, it came back, I think, October last year in the BT Sports Studios, and still watching it, still producing fantastic main events. I mean, we spoke a bit off air again, you know, that Walter Ilya Dragunov match that was match of the year last year, and Kaylee Ray versus Sato. You got it. Sorry. Japanese names has never been my strength, to be honest with you. Some of the matches that you're producing as well. I mean, it's one of those shows that almost doesn't seem like it's under the WWE umbrella. It's still got, you know, the UK and the European vibes about it. The matches are always great. The characters are great. The roster's really, really strong. But it's producing a fantastic product, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. And like we said off air about the Walter and Ilya, the bar that is now set for everything. If that doesn't attract more eyes to NXT UK, then I don't know where the bar needs to go, because that was just unreal.
Yeah, absolutely. They're kind of rematched this past Sunday night at TakeOver 36. We were talking about that, and those two can't have a bad match as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you've been in the ring with Ilya Dragunov. You've been in the ring with Walter as well. But like I say, Ilya's the new NXT UK champion. Give us your experience of being in the ring with two very, very strong. I mean, Ilya is just intense. I think he'd give the Ultimate Warrior a run for his money as far as intensity is concerned. And Walter is just a beast, isn't he, Walter? But give us your thoughts on those two individuals.
To me, Ilya is just like the most loving but intense psychopath you will ever. He is absolutely lovely, but oh my God, is he's nuts. And it's that intensity that he shows through his matches, that's Ilya in real life as well. But it's wow. Wrestling him, you realize that it's bam, 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 bam. And Walter, I don't tweet very much about matches. I don't tweet very much in general. But I actually tweeted about that match at the last TakeOver and just said thank you to Walter, because I think people haven't really realized just how good he is. And stuff like that, that you realize afterwards, he is actually...
He's worth every penny, isn't he? He's worth every penny. And I don't think he's, you know, he's been on the UK brand now for probably coming up 3 years. I think he was champion for well over 2 years of that. So that kind of goes to show you what sort of a guy he is and what they think of him in the kind of NXT UK locker room. But it's phenomenal. And just, you know, testament to the brand that you're a part of, which is absolutely fantastic. Like I say, you've summed it up perfectly there for Ilya. And I've seen him wrestle a couple of times, and I was talking to you off air again about being backstage at Wrestle Carnival a few weeks back and how the wrestlers would kind of get themselves into the zone. And I can imagine backstage watching Ilya kind of get in the zone. He's like, you could sell tickets for that alone, I should imagine.
Well, there was a point on TakeOver just before they came out, and as he's walking towards the entranceway, he's slapping himself around the face.
Yeah.
That's, I remember the first day he turned up at the PC, he was slapping himself around. He was like literally whack, whack, around his legs, his stomach, his chest, his face. And we all literally just stood there and were like, we're all going to, we are all die. And yeah. So you, if you can imagine it, I can guarantee you it happens 100 times harder.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm looking forward to seeing what the future holds for him as the champion, and would like to see. I mean, who do you think would be, you know, a good challenger to Ilya's crown? I mean, you're kind of there, you're in amongst the boys. I mean, a couple of names off the top of my head. I'd love to see him go up against Rampage. I'd love to see him go up against, Saxon Huxley or maybe a Tyler Bate. But any names off the top of your head?
I'd love to see the Rampage one. I'd love to see the Tyler one. But Saxon, I feel... Saxon, I think, should be the man.
Yeah,
I feel how much he has grown in the past 18 months, especially through lockdown and through all the training that he's done. He has become so much more than what he ever was. He's so much more than just a Brody ripoff. He is becoming himself so much, and if he keeps growing the way that he's growing, if he's not someone who potentially could beat Ilya within. Next 18 months, 2 years, then I feel like something has gone horribly wrong. To me, Saxon is somebody that everyone, especially when we get a crowd, should keep their eyes on. His promos have become fantastic. His in-ring has become madness, but in such a good way. To me, Saxon is someone who, I think him and Ilya together could be the... We referred to Walter and Ilya 1 as a good car crash. I feel like... Yeah. And Ilya could become as good a car crash, if not up it.
Yeah, but I know that Saxon had a brilliant match with Walter, probably at the back end of last year at the BT Sports Studios. And I thought that could have been the star-making performance for Saxon. But, you know, he just needs one or two more kind of matches like that to propel him to the next level. But he's got the size, he's got the gimmick, he's got the intensity. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It brings us to our first listener question, Tyson. And it's from an Ashley Clements, who is a big fan of the show. Ashley asks, is there anyone that's on the UK scene that you would like to see given a chance in NXT UK, either as a talent or as a trainer? He mentions the likes of Styx or Nathan Cruz or RJ Singh come to mind for him. But to any talent out there that's possibly not signed that you think could do well as a talent or as a coach?
Charlie Sterling.
Yes. Yeah, big fans of Charlie on this podcast. Spoke to him a couple of months ago.
Lee Hunter.
Yeah, good shout.
To me, Lee Hunter is definitely way up there in this country as an unsung hero. Jody Fleisch, just because I want to wrestle him.
Yeah, I was watching Fighting With My Family on Channel 4 the other day. I didn't realise that he was in it until I saw him chatting to the star of the film. And I think, that's Jody. Why didn't I spot him before? I've seen the film about a dozen times. It was great to see him in it.
Yeah.
Carry on.
A lad called Sheik El Sham.
Yes.
Lana Austin.
Yeah.
Lizzie Evo.
Yes. She's great. She's the current Catch Pro Wrestling Women's Champion. And I kind of saw her backstage at Wrestle Carnival. She is just fantastic. And she's really got kind of the package together. She's got the gimmick. She's got the look, the wrestling acumen. She's going far. And this has been a breakout year for her. I've never seen her on so many shows as she has been this year.
Yeah, they'd be my five for now.
That's good. That's really, really good. Carry on, sorry.
It was six, not five.
Let's see. I've got one more quick question from KJ's Pro Wrestling Podcast. Out of the growing group, crop of talent currently on the British scene, who would you like to face on a UK takeover? So it could be somebody signed or somebody not signed. Have you got an opponent that you think you could absolutely smash it out of the park if you were to be featured on an NXT takeover yourself?
Ashton Smith.
Yeah, that would be an awesome match, wouldn't it? And I'm sure that you two have probably mixed it up several times before, haven't you?
Yeah, once or twice. Ashton and Charlie as well. I'd love the opportunity to wrestle Charlie again. Just
yeah.
He's my idiot.
It's got to be done. It's got to be done. But as we start to wrap things up here, Tyson, I've got one final question for myself. And just thinking about, I mean, you've been in the business for 15 years. You wrestle pretty much everyone and everywhere. You're now on the kind of WWE NXT UK scene. But what are some of the proudest moments in your career that you can look back on and think, yeah, I did that?
The first tournament.
Yeah.
Not giving up when I thought I would.
Elaborate on that.
There was just a point where I'd basically been told that I wouldn't get signed. I was starting to get hurt all the time. And I was earning more money doing my normal job than I was doing this. And I say the pain side of things was like taking its toll to a point where I was just like, is this really how I want to keep going? A part of me was just thinking of, if I'm not going to achieve the next level of goal, as much as I didn't ever think it would happen, but I just felt like if I wasn't going to happen, did I want to keep hurting myself to the level I was hurting myself?
Yeah.
If I could earn more money doing a normal thing, which...
Gotcha.
In turn, then I had some time off, fixed myself, and then thought, well, that was a stupid idea. But, and then hence the not giving up when I thought I would. Also the not listening to people when they say this isn't for you or you can't do this, being able to now turn around and say basically honestly, obviously peace and not that, but being able to say that to people,
absolutely.
Going, I've still made something after being told no.
Yeah. And I said that was my final question, but one more just popped into my head. And like I say, you've been on the scene for 15, 16 years, and you've made a lot of friends on the circuit. But a lot of people are coming to you as a mentor now. And do you kind of take pride in that and being able to kind of pass on your knowledge, whether it be backstage at NXT UK or when you're out and about at other shows and people are coming to you for advice? And obviously take pride in that and, you know, enjoy passing on your knowledge?
Absolutely. If someone wants to come to me and they feel that I can help them, then I will give them everything I possibly can to try and help them, I guess. As long as someone comes to me, if anyone would come to me then, and they feel that they can trust me enough to help them, then yeah. It doesn't make me feel like I must be doing something right to still get people to ask me that.
Oh, 100%, 100%. You're definitely doing more than that. But Tyson T-Bone, it's been amazing speaking to you. It's been an absolute blast. You're my first contracted WWE superstar that I've ever interviewed. So thank you very much for that. That's kind of a tick on my bucket list. But before we go, I don't know if you're kind of heavily into your socials. I know that I kind of spoke to you on Twitter and Instagram. But do you have any kind of socials you want to plug or any merchandise where we can kind of reach out, say hi to you or anything you want to plug?
No merchandise. Instagram would be Tyson_T_Bone. I'm on that more than I am anything else, but even that I don't post on. I'm terrible with social media. Media ruins life, but
I don't blame you. It's a necessary evil, isn't it, unfortunately?
Yeah, sadly so. But Instagram would be my chosen one because I feel like it's less negative than everything else.
Very true. I agree with that wholeheartedly. But Tyson T-Bone, it's been an honour and a privilege to speak to you. So thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thanking you. Thank you.